I love doing that, because I hardly ever get to do it. Good morning, everybody, and I'd like to welcome you on behalf of the Center for Trade and Economic Integration of the Graduate Institute of International and Development Studies at Geneva, and of course the WTO, to this event, which I hope will prove very interesting. I think it will. We've chosen a wide-ranging subject area, seeking to distill policy issues and challenges at the intersection of trade, energy, and the environment. We all care about the environment these days, as you can tell from all those papers piled up on the desk outside. Each of these issues, trade, energy, environment, you can pair and find a whole lot of things to discuss and to analyze. So putting all three together is quite ambitious, and I think it's going to prove rather interesting to see what comes out. I think it's also very good to have business, academics, diplomats, and bureaucrats like me together to discuss this set of issues. I think we get lots of interesting perspectives from that too. So I think that holds quite a bit of promise. There are two things we're trying to do. One is to tease out the issues, to clarify them. And the other is to make this a productive conference in the sense of really trying to identify what we don't know and where we need to do more work and where we need to focus in on trying to understand better what the issues are and what the policy choices are. So that's what we're going to do for the next 1.5 days. It's quite a heavy program. I think it's... So we have the 5 panels, and you'll see from the program how that's been put together. But before we get down to the panels, I'd like to particularly welcome Ambassador Luis Vasecha, the Swiss representative to WTO, and also thank him and his government for their support, and invite him to say a few words. Lucius.
Thank you, Patrick. You mentioned, you qualified yourself as a bureaucrat. Yes. I am not a diplomat, I am a diplocrat, which means that we dare to look into more technical issues, which mean that we have to look into issues which usually diplomats delegate to somebody they qualify as an expert. I would like to congratulate the organizers of this conference. I think the conference is topical and tackles important questions and interesting challenges. From a government perspective, the biggest challenge is if you tackle these three subjects together, it implies interministerial coordination. And in a small administration like the Swiss administration, it works not too badly. At least we know who deals with the subjects. We have contacts among each other, and we manage to work together to develop common positions. But it took about 10 years to get there. Well, as you know, the Swiss get up early but wake up late. The way the synergies and the interactions between trade, energy, and the environment are being dealt with, they have a potential to largely influence the future international governance and architecture of international law. In this conjuncture, I felt more than happy that this House in the recent months has published several reports which are based on an interagency cooperation. I think that's a big step forward in all the so-called trade and issues. In trade, energy, and environment, up to now, the issues were by large isolated and are being dealt with in different forums. trade is covered in WTO and more in free trade agreements. Energy in the energy charter, in OECD, in OPEC, and so on. In environment, in UN treaties and environmental agreements. The respective negotiators and specialized experts often do not communicate amongst themselves, or if they do, mostly in a negative way, where the trade observer in an environmental delegation is not allowed to speak, or vice versa. And very often it's difficult to understand each other. I'm chairman in this house of the so-called NAMA negotiations, and NAMA stands for non-agricultural market access. Whilst in the environmental field, NAMA means nationally appropriate mitigation actions. Quite a difference. So, in our relationship, we very often get inspired by the wonderful theme of Lost in Translation. In our globalized and more connected world, no system can no longer pretend to function in isolation. And, you know, it's very difficult when you remember, well, you are all too young to do that, but in the 50s, I was told by my predecessors, they stayed 3 weeks in Geneva at a contracting parties meeting of the GATT to discuss whether they should lower the tariffs on hats. And of course they managed to get a deal when hats were no longer fashionable. Now, if you are grown up with this mentality, your first reflex when you hear environment is, wow, that's an obstacle to trade. And you know, everything which disturbs the private sector, of course, is an obstacle to trade. We received notifications in the good old days of the Soviet Union where they told us, well, the regime is an obstacle to trade, which of course is not totally wrong, but which is difficult to handle with technical tools like we have in trade policy. I think those fathers who have drafted basic principles of international law were very visionary when they said that there is no automatic hierarchy among international treaties, which is an obligation for all different specialists to talk together. And sometimes it's better to talk before you implement the legislation than afterwards. And I would say this house has some tools. We are so used to them that we forget how useful they can be. We had a discussion internally in Switzerland to anticipate the introduction to prohibit lorries without specific filters. And of course we had a fight. We trade people with our environmental people. I said, well, let's not fight. Let's test. And we used the notification system under the TBT agreement. And of course all the lobbies of lorry producers came and lobbied, and this departure from international standard was not put into force. I think this is very important, but it has to be known by others. Let me shortly comment on the different panels you are going to live, to follow, or to meditate on. On existing international cooperation, I have already mentioned this report the joint report by UNEP and the WTO on trade and climate change. We are convinced that if measures are implemented in the field of climate change, this organization, the WTO, will have a lot to do to prevent unilateral measures, to convince participants that and members that border measures may be politically sexy, but certainly not efficient. Which means that before playing with the muzzles, one should think, then one should talk and negotiate and come possibly to a common result. In a second panel, import, export and production restrictions on energy goods and services, I hope that we can move forward the reflection on the specificity of energy when energy is traded. In the recent years, many members have acceded to the WTO with a great interest in the field of energy. So logically, this issue should become more familiar also in the WTO, which doesn't mean that WTO has to do everything. It has to cooperate with those who have the specialties in this field. In panel three, transport and transit, we have lived the experience in the Energy Charter that transit of energy is a little bit different than transit of other goods. You know that even electricity is, from a customs point of view, a good. But I have never seen customs officials checking the intensity of the flow of energy when it passes the border. These specificities have to be looked at and seen under the angle of the basic principle of the trading system, which is non-discrimination. Then in the panel on environmental issues in the trade and energy context, here I can just express my frustration because Switzerland was, together with its EFTA partner, at the origin of the Committee on Trade and Environment, and we pushed together with the Commission, or the Commission together with us, to have some negotiating points on trade and environment in the Doha Declaration. And I must say the enthusiasm of WTO members for this negotiation is, I would say, diplomatically suboptimal. Finally, you'll have a panel on subsidies and pricing. Here, I think all those who have had the chance to tackle with Russian accession will find, hopefully, simulations for further addressing these issues. I would like to conclude by underlining how important it is to bring artificially separate topics of trade, energy and the environment together. And I congratulate the organizers for this visionary approach. We have co-sponsored this event, and I'm very proud that we did, because it's not very often that we sponsor visionary approaches. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Lucius, for that. Now I invite John Galt of John Galt Asser. He's the president of the company, as you might expect. He comes with a wealth of experience from the energy sector, and we're very pleased to have him with us. John.
Thank you, Patrick. Following the warm welcomes from the World Trade Organization and from Ambassador Vasescha, I would like to add a sincere welcome on behalf of the organizers of this meeting. We are pleased that so many of you accepted our invitation, and we are most grateful to our hosts for making this conference possible. We appreciate the consistent support for this conference from Director General Pascal Lamy and his staff, including Gabriel Marceau and Patrick Lowe. This conference grew from a series of informal meetings held here in Geneva over a two-year period in which we attempted to anticipate how participants in the energy industries could be affected increasingly by world trade rules and environmental regulations. Our informal meetings were inspired by the speech of Director General Lamy at the Rome meeting of the World Energy Congress almost exactly 2 years ago, when he said that, and I quote, "more predictable and transparent trade rules could benefit both energy importing and exporting countries, and beyond them, companies engaged in energy trade and consumers, all of us." In our informal meetings, we identified many such potential benefits, and we acknowledged that energy, trade, and the environment are already inextricably intertwined, to the point that policymaking in any one of these three domains must now take into consideration the other two. Energy is a significant part of world trade. Trade in fossil fuels and electricity account for about 15% of global merchandise trade by value. And goods containing substantial amounts of embedded energy, steel, aluminum, cement, and so forth, add roughly another 5%. And this does not even include petrochemicals, polymers and plastics, and nitrogenous fertilizers derived from natural gas. Nor does it include trade in equipment used in the production of energy, whether from traditional sources or renewables. So think of 20% of merchandise trade as a lower bound. In addition, transportation accounts for nearly a quarter of global trade in services. And the travel industry, which could hardly exist without transportation, makes up another quarter. So fully half of world trade in services is intensely energy dependent. But this again is a lower bound. We are not even counting here trade in oil field services, energy consulting services, or financial services related to energy trade and energy infrastructure development. Clearly, the energy industry, defined in this very broad manner, has a lot at stake as trade and environmental rules are adopted and interpreted. As we all have observed, firms in the energy industry do not speak with a single voice on trade and environmental issues. Nevertheless, I believe we can identify some common interests. Those who produce, transport, and transform energy are faced today with enormous challenges. They must invest to meet expanding global demand for energy, especially in developing countries. They must cope with rising costs as they search for energy in more remote regions and ever deeper ocean depths, using ever more exotic technologies. They must invest simultaneously in research, development, and deployment of new and renewable energy sources. And their investments must provide a return to their shareholders, whether those shareholders are private investors or the government owners of state-owned enterprises. These challenges are daunting, but they are compounded in the absence of clear, predictable, and a logical legal framework. The energy industry cannot supply the world's energy needs if the rules to which they are subject are vague, contradictory, inconsistent, or constantly changing. And that brings us to the program for our conference. We hope our conference will stimulate thinking about how to improve clarity and consistency of rules so that our simultaneous needs for trade expansion, environmental protection, and the provision of adequate energy can be met. Our conference opens with a panel discussing current rules and their interactions. This should be a helpful prelude for those of us who, like myself, are not specialists on these subjects. We then turn successively to panels on four particular challenges: import, export, and production restrictions on energy goods and services, issues related to energy transport and transit, environmental issues in trade and energy context, and subsidies and energy pricing, including dual pricing. On each of these subjects, we will hear the views of some of the world's most eminent experts. At the close of the conference, tomorrow, we hope everyone will participate in a discussion of where we go from here. What subjects are worthy of further examination? How can we bring research to bear on resolving any inadequacies or inconsistencies we may have uncovered during the conference? Thank you again for coming. I invite you to participate energetically in our discussions today and tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you very much, John. Before I hand over to the first panel, I just want to draw the attention of the chairs of the panels to our exemplary performance on the timekeeping front. Thank you very much, and where's Jost? He's over there. Thank you.